Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Well, one thing today, we can guarantee an answer to any of your questions involving the Oscars, television, entertainment industry. We have an expert with us today here, as we do many times. It's Alex Van Block here on The Advertising Show, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com and by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show, a Big Radio Midgets production. Alex is the the editor-at-large of HollywoodReporter.com and also the show business historian at HollywoodToday.net. One is a day job, one is a night job, okay? No, I'm joking. He's got a lot of great things going on. And Alex is always fun to have as part of the show. Here momentarily, Shamin Abbas, our activist for excellence, is going to talk about value-based offerings. And boy, isn't that a fact. In these wonderful economic times, value-based offerings, unless you're offering those, you don't have much cooking. And a little bit later, Gene Bliss, the customer experience. Get clear about your purpose. What is your purpose? And we're talking about your company's purchase. So we're gonna talk to or have Jean present her little portion of the show a little bit later on this hour. In addition to Alex and of course Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe, what are you looking at there?
Well, you mentioned Jean Bliss and her vignette topic going to be about purpose, and that reminded me next week's guest, Roy Spence, has a new book out. Roy Spence, of course, founder and chairman of GSD&M and Idea City out of Austin, a well-known agency, but his whole book is about finding your purpose, and I think, let's see, the name, as I recall, is It's Not What You Sell, It's What You Stand For, and it's a great book, and look forward to visiting with Roy next week. But I wanted to mention, Ray, if anyone was planning on attending the OAAA annual, what is it? It's a convention, a national convention.
Weenie Roast and Rodeo, it says here.
Yeah, well, apparently they've decided that due to economic conditions and a need to refocus on core business, that's code for nobody wants to attend, and we can't afford it. The Outdoor Advertising Association of America canceled its national convention and trade show scheduled for May 17th through 19th in Miami. So if you've got a book, if you've got a flight already booked, you may want to check with them and be charged $100 to reschedule that flight. The decision followed a series of phone calls, according to the OAAA members, and to take the pulse of the industry and determine support for the show. Again, code for there wasn't any support. Mm-hmm. Nobody returned our calls. There wasn't any interest, whatever. So, but you know what's interesting about that is outdoor media is one of the better traditional media of 08, and although they're going to take a little hit in 09, as all media will, but it's interesting. I would not have thought that they would have bailed on their national convention. The other trade organizations aren't bailing, or at least I haven't heard that they have yet.
No, I'd be interested to see what happened so far this year with, for instance, the National Religious Broadcasters Association have already had their event this year. So I'd be curious to see what, yes, thank God they did. That was pretty good. Listen, if you've got a ticket to Miami, I'd say just go there and
rent
a car and head down A1A all the way to Key West, and you've got still a good deal going, and you can still write it off. Just say, hey, when you get to the convention center, hey, nobody told me about this. Let's talk about outdoor advertising, okay?
Right.
So go there.
Go to South Beach and have a shot.
And some conch chowder be fine. On The Advertising Show, it's Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe, and we have, let me see, who do we have here? Yes, Gene Bliss. Get clear about your purpose. No, that's not true. I'm sorry. That's later. It's value-based offerings. Here's a Shamin Abbas on The Advertising Show. Boy, are we confused, huh?
And now, it's time for Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
As consumers continue to cut back on spending in the face of continued economic turmoil, companies are responding with campaigns that spotlight value-based offers. In October, Kmart brought back its layaway program using a heavy PR program to leverage the announcement. The makers of Healthy Choices Fresh Mixers is touting it as an alternative to expensive lunches that can be eaten at one's desk. They hired Ivanka Trump as a spokeswoman and staged lunch trade events where the product was handed out to office workers in New York and Chicago. Denny's Restaurant's recent campaign asked "Who's bailing you out?" and offered $4 weekday express slams, with plans to roll out other associated meals with major campaigns. In our experience, it is our retail and restaurant clients that are hardest hit the soonest in times of economic hardship. That's supported by a survey quoted in PR Week that stated 43% of surveyed households were eating out less, and 38% more were buying sale items. The outlook for 2009 indicates this trend will continue, and we need to respond with those promotions that will provide a tactile value to consumers. Grassroots or events are a fantastic way to involve consumers with your product, whether you're a con agra or the local French bistro. Free samples, discounted drinks, and free appetizers during a themed happy hour get them through the door, whilst tying in with other non-competitive businesses that can raise the perceived value, reduce pricing at certain times on certain days, value menus, buy one, get one free offers. Nothing is below our ability and reputation to help our clients stay in business, bring in new business, and continue to help as valued partners. Awareness of driving sales for clients has never been more important for PR professionals.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional, with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
Thanks, Shamin Abbas, with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth here on The Advertising Show. Always a great feature as well. Just ahead, Alex Ben Block, our very special guest today, as often is a guest here at The Advertising Show. Alex is editor-at-large at HollywoodReporter.com and also show business historian at HollywoodToday.net. I'd like to say that Alex has kind of followed in my footsteps here, those footsteps being Miami, Detroit. Let's see, where else has he been? Syracuse. Well, I've never been to Syracuse. Been in upstate New York, though. So, but he's been involved in a variety of things. Now, I'm based in California. His daughter is a singer, by the way. If you go ahead and Google Hayley Taylor, Hayley Taylor. Got some great stuff there for music wise. So he's a proud dad, no doubt about it. But Alex will be with us here in just a few moments on The Advertising Show. Coke Zero video contest. It's March Madness, of course. Taste the Madness is the campaign. And what they're doing is launching a video promotion, giving March Madness fans a chance to appear in a special vignette aired just prior to tip-off during the NCAA Division I Men's Basketball Championship on April 6th. Coke is encouraging fans to upload their most animated and fanatical videos and photos. And I can just see sports fans, they won't have a problem with getting a whole bunch of qualified, if not over-the-top, entries there. So once again, Coke not standing on their laurels, so to speak, and their success, and doing some really cool things as well with March Madness. Good for you. On The Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth with Alex Ben Block coming up next.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn, or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on captivate.com.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
Men, nothing takes it off like Noxzema medicated shave.
As promised, we hook up today with Alex Ben Block here at The Advertising Show. Alex, it is great to have you here. How are you doing?
Thank you, Brad and Ray. Always good to speak with you.
Well, and it's been all too long to hook up with you, Alex, to find out what's going on in the entertainment world and television, et cetera. So why don't we start off with the most interesting issue that I'm sure everyone's thinking about, and that's the Oscars. With they're all about change and trying to turn around ratings and also having issues with advertisers, I guess. Can you bring us up to date on that, Alex?
It's a mess this year. You know, last year was the lowest rated Oscars in a very long time, part of a trend which saw the Oscars and other award shows losing audience. But it was particularly bad last year. So the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences this year picked new producers and a new host, and they've changed the format somewhat, and they're playing with a number of different things, trying to make it more entertaining. But the question is whether any of that's going to make a difference or whether they're doing the right things. In the meanwhile, the ABC television network, which pays a lot of money to carry this broadcast, something in the neighborhood of $40 million, has seen the price of ads drop from $1.7 million last year to about $1.4 million this year. And they're even just before the show, they're still not sold out. One of the big problems is that L'Oreal Paris, one of the big advertisers, the second biggest advertiser on the show last year, dropped out at the last minute on a huge multi-million dollar commitment.
Whoa.
This follows the loss of General Motors, which is somewhat made up for because they picked up Hyundai as an advertiser. But it's unclear if they're going to have any beauty category advertiser on the show. And even if they do, they're probably going to have to discount it even more to get them at the last minute. So ratings questions big time about whether or not the show will continue to see loss of audience. That may well be. And some weird decisions they've made. You tell me what you think of this. They're not giving out the names of some of the presenters and some of the talent on the show. They think that that's going to increase the mystery and make people want to watch the show more. They've also asked some of the people who are presenters not to walk the red carpet and talk about their fashions and be seen on the pre-shows because they think that way people will stay tuned in to see what they're wearing on the show. What do you think of that?
Short-sighted and stupid.
I think it's a huge publicity platform as far as red carpet that has a lot of post-program exposure. And then as far as the tease, I think most viewers expect to see, you know, A-list movie celebrity, yeah, movie actors, et cetera. So, you know, why hold that in, you know, in mystery? You know, you mentioned advertisers. Coke, last year's biggest advertiser, I understand, is only going to be doing one spot this year. And also, I understand the Oscars broke trend by now allowing some movie advertisers.
They are. For the first time this year, there will be some limited movie advertising with some weird rules around it about what they can and can't say, what they can and can't show, and how they can advertise it. But at least the show about movies will be able to have movies as advertisers. In the past, you know, they thought it was an ethical issue, if you can believe that, in Hollywood, you know, whether or not they should be advertising the same shows that are on. But they have a huge problem this year also with the movies, and that is, even though there's some very fine films up, a lot of people haven't seen them. This is not a year when the big pictures like Dark Knight, the equivalent of, say, Titanic in 1998, the last year that there was super ratings for the Oscars, these shows are not nominated. And the movies that are nominated haven't gotten what they call the Oscar bounce. In other words, after they were nominated, they went into wide release finally, and I'm thinking here about Frost Nixon, for instance, and even though it's an excellent picture, really a terrific movie in my opinion, it has not gotten the audience that I think it deserves, and even Benjamin Button domestically hasn't done as well as expected, although it's going gangbusters overseas. For whatever reasons, the curious case of Benjamin Button from Paramount Pictures is a huge worldwide hit, much bigger than in the United States.
Well, before we get you to weigh in on who you expect to be some of the winners, you mentioned new producers this year. What would you expect to see as far as changes in execution?
Well, first of all, the musical numbers have been boiled down, all three songs, to about 90 seconds or less for each song. You will see some singing and dancing from host Hugh Jackman, and apparently there's going to be some other talent on the show. Sid Gannis, the president of the Academy, has promised that they're going to find ways to present some of the awards in ways that make it go more quickly, especially with some of the so-called minor awards. They claim that they are truly going to limit people to a 45 seconds response. And that 45 seconds begins the minute that they make the announcement that so-and-so has won the award. So when they're taking their time walking up, they're burning up some of the seconds they have. And then if there's more than one person, they're never going to get on.
I just don't see them adhering to any time limitation any more than they have in the past, so we'll see how that works out. Give us a run through of what time we have left here, and we'll pick it up also on the other side, who you see as this year's sure winners.
Well, I think this is the year of Slumdog Millionaire. It's won every major gateway event coming into this that typically tell us who the winners are, and a number of the other categories also seem to be headed toward a lock. In the case of Slumdog Millionaire, Best Picture, Best Director, probably some of the things like Best Cinematography, Best Editing, they're going to get. I think some of the other awards, the less important awards, will go to Benjamin Button. They'll take, say, Editing and Technical Awards. I'm looking at Kate Winslet for The Reader as Best Actress. I think the late Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight is a lock to win. One of the real contested categories is Best Actor. And I'm putting my money on Sean Penn to edge out Mickey Rourke. I think the fact Mickey Rourke got this far and got nominated is a huge win for him. And I think the Academy is going to honor Milk with Sean Penn's award and also a Best Original Screenplay honor for that movie.
Is there still a little bit of residual negative on Rourke, and that's why he wouldn't win over Penn, as you mentioned?
Well, you know, he has made one of the great comebacks in the history of show business here. And, you know, when you get to the Academy voters, they're a little older, a little more conservative. You know, well, he's fabulous in The Wrestler itself is not as great a movie. Milk is much more of a heavyweight movie, and Milk just won major honors at the Writers Guild Awards. Really, Penn and Rourke have split most of the awards over the past months, you know, the Golden Globe going to Rourke and, in other words, going to Penn. So I think it's between the two of them, but my guess is the older conservative voters in the Academy are probably going to go for Sean Penn.
On the Advertising Show is Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, along with our very special friend and many times guest here on the Advertising Show. We call Alex a part of the show, actually. He is editor-at-large of The Hollywood Reporter and senior columnist for Hollywood Today, and HollywoodToday.net is the website on there as well. But we're going to continue our conversation here in just a moment with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Do you know exactly how to read an Oreo? Well, to do it, you unscrew it.
Always a great conversation when we have Alex Benblock on the show here with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Alex, welcome back. Nice to have you.
Yeah, just to wrap up our conversation about the silver screen, Alex, you mentioned Slumdog Millionaire and the expectations of that film in this year's Oscars. We all know generically it's the Bollywood reference of where that film originated. Would we be expecting a lift in credibility coming out of India now?
Well, this has already given a shot in the arm to the Indian Film Festival, even though they did not make this movie. It was made in India by an English production company and an English director for an American studio. And it was done with the sensibility of the Western point of view, not the Bollywood sensibility at all. And, of course, there have actually been some protests in India about the movie, people saying it shows India in a bad light and, you know, it's the slumdog concept is offensive to some people. But, you know, in a country of that size with that many people, this does happen. And if this show didn't reflect it so well, I think it probably wouldn't be as successful as it is. And it's also one of the great movie stories, you know, about how what could happen to a movie. Here's this movie made by a relatively, not obscure, but an English director who isn't that well known. And then Warner Independent Pictures is financing it. It gets done, and Warner Independent goes out of business. And the geniuses at Warner Brothers look at the movie and go, let's send it direct to video. And somebody says, no, I think, you know, we just don't know how to handle it. Let's give it to somebody else. So they actually give it to Fox Searchlight, a division of News Corp, and they say, here, you know what to do with it. You handle it. And they kept 50% of it. The ownership is split between the two. But it was Fox Searchlight that was able to take this little picture that came from nowhere with nobody you've ever heard of in it, with music and scenes that nobody really was ready for or thought they knew what was coming, and turned it into a hit. And now a major award winner and probably the best picture of the year at the Oscars.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thanks for clarifying that. I didn't realize the British angle on that and the Western strategy, I suppose, from a viewership standpoint. TV revenues off in fourth quarter of 08 and not expecting to get any better soon. Curious about your take on not only the TV revenue expectations for 09, but the upfronts and scatter market. Just kind of bring us up to date, if you would, Alex.
What a mess. Sort of like the American economy, it's in free fall. CBS, other networks have reported huge drops in earnings, and the reason is that advertisers are pulling back and pulling out. Now, let's be clear, there's two ways that people buy advertising in a very general sense on a national level. One is they buy it at the upfront, which happens usually in May right after the schedules are announced, and there will be an upfront this year. Whether it'll be robust or not, we'll see. The other way people buy advertising is on the spot market, meaning from day to day it goes up and down like the stock market in price. If there's a lot of demand and a scarcity, it goes up. If there's not a lot of demand and not a lot of scarcity, and there's actually a lot of inventory around, it goes down. And that's what's going on right now. The price of a 30-second spot fell about 15% in the fourth quarter of 2008 compared to the year earlier. And so what this has done is shaken up the market significantly and made some big advertisers, including one of the very biggest, Procter & Gamble, decide to cancel their commitments made during the upfront and just go out and buy on the spot market as they need it. And they're seeing these lower prices, and so it's shaking things up. Now, Procter & Gamble says that they're also looking at other options. They may spend more money on the Internet, or they may make cuts, or they may find other ways to do it, but they've reduced their ad spending, at least for the first 11 months of 2008, by about 8% to about just under $3 billion, according to the Nielsen Monitor Plus. And they're looking for even more cuts. So all the big advertisers are saying we need to cut back, we need to spend less, and this is having a dramatic effect not only on the networks, but on television syndicators, and particularly on the sort of holocaust that's going on in TV stations. I don't know if you're aware or not, but the value of TV stations, particularly owned and operated stations, was, in my opinion, wildly inflated. You may have heard of stations trading for $500 million or $800 million over the years, that kind of thing, in big markets. Well, now a lot of those stations, because of the auto advertising drying up, disappearing, rolling back, as well as the fact that people are going to the Internet with their advertising and so forth, and also that the viewers are going other places, that there's a lot of other choices on cable TV. So for local stations, the value of those stations has dropped, and most of the big companies, including News Corp, General Electric, CBS, have had to take huge multi-million dollar, even billion-dollar plus write-offs on the value of those stations. And that's all part of this huge shakeout that's going on. And really, at this point, we don't even know what the business model is going to be for television going forward, how it's really going to work, where the bottom is. And until the economy bottoms out, we probably aren't going to find out. So it's actually a pretty scary time in the TV business.
Very good friend, Alex Van Block with us today at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Coming up with more with Alex in another segment in just a moment.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Hey, meet the swinger, Polaroid swinger.
Welcome back. It's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth here on The Advertising Show with our special guest out of California, Alex Ben Luck. Alex, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, Alex, let's get your way in on satellite radio. Sirius and XM merged recently, expecting to pull themselves together to be able to become stronger as a couple, I suppose. And yet, along with coming together, they brought a lot of debt to share and a lot of programming to have to pay for. So give us a sense of what's going on. I understand that there's someone coming to their rescue.
Exactly. You know, these are companies, SiriusXM, even though it combined, even though it has over 12 million subscribers who are paying every month with nice cash flow, it racked up such an amount of debt, citing Howard Stern and Martha Stewart and Oprah Winfrey and other big artists, and doing other things to promote it, and really giving away subscriptions quite cheaply for a long time, and in radios, that huge debt has now caught up with them. With the bad economy, what happened was they're unable to refinance the debt. And so the owners of SiriusXM, it's a public company, of course, saw their stock drop from something like $3.70 a share at the time of the merger with XM to about 5 cents a share recently.
Wow.
Which is a huge drop, of course. And the reason is the market thought they were about to go bankrupt, and they even put out a notice to the public market saying there was a chance they were going to have to go bankrupt. And so the owners of the Dish Network actually came after them, bought up their debt, and tried to acquire the company. They decided they didn't like Charlie Aragon and the people at the Dish Network. So instead, they went to the people who own DirecTV and Starz, run by a man named John Malone, and now he's agreed to put up several hundred million dollars in return for a minority stake in SiriusXM, which now probably will be marketed with DirecTV, and that's enough to pull them out of debt. The stock has popped back up to almost about 20 cents a share or so, which
wow.
is four times what it was a couple of days before this deal was made. And so at this point, it looks like they're going to scrape along, but, you know, their business model has a real problem. Even though a lot of people love the SiriusXM service and getting all that programming and not having commercials and having all those choices and being able to get great music across the desert, for instance, and that kind of stuff. You know, there's a lot of choices out there. There's, you know, high-definition radio. There's lots of radio stations. There's lots of things to listen to and do in your car. And so in a tough economic time, you know, 10 or 12 or 15 bucks a month may not seem like a lot, but people don't want to pay it when they're out of work. And their inability to refinance the debt was really the reason that they really were on the verge of bankruptcy. But at this point, they pulled back. It looks like SiriusXM will continue, at least for now.
Yeah. You know, when you say News Corp, I think most people think Murdoch, but the real driver behind the company is Peter Chernin. So I understand there's some rumors swarming around this guy.
Well, of course, Rupert Murdoch is the creator of this company, the visionary of the company, and the one who put it all together. But it's been Peter Chernin who's really run it and has been Hollywood's go-to guy for a number of years now. And he's in a long-term protracted contract dispute and negotiation with Murdoch and the top people at News Corp. And there's rumors he may leave the company. If he does, look for the stock to take a serious hit because Wall Street really likes this guy. They know he's a solid operator. They know he can be trusted. But he and Murdoch don't always see eye to eye. For instance, Murdoch is very well known as a very conservative Republican. Peter Chernin is very well known as a Democrat and has given to most of the Democratic candidates over the years. And so some people say, oh, great, that provides balance. But when you get the two guys locked in a room together, it's kind of an indicator of kind of the differences between them. Now, I happen to be a huge Peter Chernin fan. I've watched him over the years. He once was at Showtime, and then he came and he ran the Fox Network, and he's worked his way up. And it's not an easy thing to work for a proprietor, for the guy who he and his family own control of the company and run it like their personal piggy bank at times. But, you know, Chernin is also the one who settled the WGA and DGA strike behind the scenes. It was he and Bob Iger of Disney who met with him and managed to end that strike. He's a very important guy in Hollywood, and if he leaves News Corp, it's going to be very big news and not a good thing for Murdoch, even though I'm sure he'll find somebody else to take the job.
We have many more questions. Unfortunately, we're out of time, as it usually is, because we get such great answers. Alex, always a pleasure to get an update from you of what's going on, and we appreciate you being here.
Always happy to talk to you guys, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you. On the Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. Back with more in just a minute.
There is somewhere better to get inspired creative ideas, and this is where it's at. OpenAd.net, the first online platform for advertisers, changing the way that ideas are created and traded. Access nearly 11,000 creative minds representing 125 countries around the world, waiting online to have a go at your brief. Imagine the impact such range and diversity of talent can have on your next advertising campaign. All creative work is IP cleared before you get it. We take care of all the details, while you get brilliant ideas in a fraction of the time, at a lower cost, and with a lot less fuss. No endless meetings, no away days. When a client needed a PR campaign to include people who couldn't make it to the G8 rally, they got 53,000 people to join a virtual protest and a campaign that won 2 international creative awards. OpenAd.net, busting down the walls of the ad industry. Put us to the test. Just go to openad.net and give us a try. What have you got to lose? The future starts here.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
From San Francisco comes...
Rice-a-roni, the San Francisco treat. Rice-a-roni.
If that's true, Rice-A-Roni, it's what we eat here at the Advertising Show. That's all we eat. Kind of like being a vegetarian, but we're Rice-A-Tarians, okay? That's a nice thing. That could be a dangerous situation, couldn't it? Thanks to Alex, as always, thanks. He's always there. Today he had trouble getting through. He didn't have a quarter to call in. So as a result, he has to use a credit card. They turned that down and finally got through to the studio so we can talk to Alex today. Very, very pleased about that. We got to get rid of that payphone, though, I think. It's just not nice to make our guest, you know, pay all that long-distance charge.
One of the few that are still around. I think we should keep it.
Okay, great. I think it's a great. I think what we'll do is we'll put it in the lobby and make other people use it as well. We can make some money. Yeah. I've heard off that. So, anyway, General Motors. No, the wrong General. General Mills is basically, on the other hand, thriving on increased marketing spending. So maybe General Motors should change their name to General Mills, huh? What do you think? They basically say they're boosting their television ads. Their digital ROI is even higher as well. And so they're saying, hey, you know, 19% in the first half of fiscal 2009 spending increases, while competitors including Kellogg and Kraft have begun to scale back on the heady marketing outlays for 08. Basically what they're saying is we're here to grow and do some good things as far as the marketing thing goes. So I guess with that said, you probably ought to go out and buy some General Mills products or General Motors products if you like as well. What do you think of this bailout thing for the auto industry? They want more money. More money! It's like, well, we're going to need another $16 billion. Do you mind? Can we have that?
You know, it's like anything, I guess. If you're willing to give it, they'll take it. And, you know, the biggest screw up in my mind was when our former president signed a bill that didn't have any follow up to, you know, where's this money going and which business plan, how are you going to spend it? Now there's a lot of complaining about, you know, banks are not providing loans. You know, what are you doing with the money? I mean, it's crazy. You know, I think the focus now, they say, is going to be on housing and, you know, I don't know. The bottom line is that to do nothing, and it's been said by our great president and others, to do nothing
would cost us much more than to do something. So I guess it's good that we're doing something. But I wish that they would have had some kind of follow through and ability to monitor where this money's going and how it's being spent, which it's not.
Exactly. And with that said, here's Jean Bliss on the Advertising Show. Get clear about your purpose is what she's talking about today.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Jean Bliss.
Get clear about your purpose. One of the most heralded and humane responses to a corporate crisis might have not occurred if Johnson & Johnson's clarity of purpose hadn't been challenged and recommitted to. James Burke was CEO of Johnson & Johnson in 1982 when seven consumers in the Chicago area died from Tylenol capsules that had been tampered with and laced with cyanide. Just 3 years earlier, Burke challenged his leadership team's commitment to that company credo. He said, if we're not going to live by this, protecting mothers and their children, let's just tear it off the wall. Burke and his leaders regrounded themselves in the meaning of their credo and how it needed to be translated into everyday decisions and actions. And consequently, when the Tylenol tragedy occurred, there was no question. Tylenol would protect people by immediately removing Tylenol from the shelves. What's your promise? Does it live consistently across your organization? Take the time for clarifying your purpose with customers. It is one of the most powerful actions you can take to keep your company on course.
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Jean Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Jean is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Jean's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
Jean Bliss, as always, a pleasure to have you here at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. Get clear about your purpose. And as you mentioned earlier, Brad, what a great dovetail for next week's show with Roy Spence, who is CEO and author of It's Not What You Sell, It's What You Stand For. Of course, he is the CEO of GSD&M, Idea City in Austin, which is an incredible company as well. But he's also got something that he's going to be talking about, too. It's called the Purpose Institute. So it seems like this word purpose is a buzzword for 2009. So, Brad, what's your purpose?
Well, you know, I have a purpose in just making sure that the listeners, if you heard Alex's words about XM, Sirius XM satellite radio, and I'm sure you did or you wouldn't be listening this far into the podcast. You know, when he talked about the cost of satellite radio and mm-hmm. how people are tightening their belt and spending money on things of greater value, and that there may be some hesitance on consumers' part to buy into satellite radio when you don't have to do it. It was several weeks ago, Ray, that we mentioned on the program that Sirius XM radio was rumored to have been planning a price increase for multiple satellite radio subscription
packages. Well,
that'll
work good. Yeah, sure.
So, yeah, if you're listening, satellite Sirius XM, you may want to rethink that.
Wow. You know, it's funny because we produce commercials that run on those channels as well. Yes, he said commercials. So how does that
yeah,
work?
Yeah, right.
I mean,
right.
You know, it's supposedly non-commercial, but obviously there are commercials.
Some are and some aren't. Yeah, you're
yeah.
right.
I really like I like the fact that at the house it's part of the package. You know, the, mm-hmm. and it really is nice. It really has added a nice kind of dimension to our you know, digital package as well. So it's cool.
I get enough in my rental cars when it comes with satellite, and I get a flavor of that, and then I go on and do away with it until I get back in another rental car that has it. So
I see. Okay, and I don't know. It's an interesting concept. High def radio is obviously something that that is cool. I don't know that radio stations, with a few exceptions, have actually, taken full advantage of high def and its potential. I think that radio has to learn a little bit more about that and discover its purpose as it relates to high definition. How about that? The Advertising
You're right.
Show being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network, you can visit them at captivate.com. Hope you enjoyed the show today, and I know you're going to love what's coming up next week as well. You know, I can just feel it. It's Roy Spence next week on The Advertising Show, which is a Big Radio Midgets production.